Hello, friend. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio in episode 506. Now, here's another episode I moderated last September 2019 at the ASA Illinois annual meeting. Out of the five episodes that we've recorded, now this is part two, this episode tackles a gambit of issues that concentrates on human resources. These are areas of responsibility that you must manage.
There is no difference between the shop and the office in terms of what words are permissible, okay? There is no word that any one class or group or gender of employee can use that nobody else can use. So there is no difference between the shop and the office.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm here, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast guy. You know, Remarkable Results Radio is so proud to talk to you about Apex. You know, hey, I was there at Apex 2019, and it's in the record books, but I must say that Apex lived up to presenting leading-edge technology from suppliers, but they also did a great job of showcasing the emerging technology of tomorrow. And as you know, you're deep in it. Now, you've got plenty of time to plan for 2020. Write this down, November 3rd through the 5th, 2020. And big news this year, Repair Shop HQ will debut at Apex 2020. Hey, Apex, now more than ever. Hey, welcome to Podcast Nirvana, where we create podcasts like the Town Hall Academy, the Single Subject Weekly Roundtable, and the For the Record Show, where you'll hear a brilliant idea or even a rant from one of your industry colleagues. Now, did you ever want to hear everything we've ever recorded on labor rates? Well, just go to the podcast website, remarkableresults.biz, and key in labor rates in any one of the search bars, and you'll find at least 18 episodes out there on just labor rates. The search bars, by the way, are all over the website. Find outstanding content on just about any topic you think about, any trend or even pain point you may have or you would like to know about. These audio workshops and interviews can help you in a really big way. Now, don't forget how important the Aftermarket Premier Podcast is to your perpetual learning regime. I was very honored to moderate an all-day panel discussion with the ASA Illinois members in Chicago and give my keynote in September 2019. I had a dream team panel, and I turned the recorder on, and we got some outstanding ideas, insights, wisdom, and passion from a great group of panelists. There are five episodes that will span a five-week period, and this is the second part with attorney Noah Frank and Sarah Frazier from Haas Performance Consulting. Find the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E506. Now, the views and opinions expressed are those of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the author, sponsors, associates, or affiliates of LSTN Media, LLC. Now, there's no legal advice given in this episode. Now, no matter what state you do business in, you can benefit from this discussion. We've got many responsibilities as business owners to comply with local, state, and federal law as it relates to the people side of our business. Now, you'll hear about classifying contractors and salary-exempt employees, protecting your employees from all forms of harassment, both internal and external. Now, we're also talking progressive discipline that will support a solid termination and even a PEO, professional employer organization. Now, in essence, we're here to give you concern to be sure you are compliant in your state and especially with federal laws and mandates. Hey, it's time to get your HR on.
Because I'd like to talk about, Danny, you had mentioned California. And that, you know, your friends want to come and move to the East Coast. I believe that California creates one new crazy law a second. And and by the way, I live in New York State, and our governor wants to be right on that governor's
You're doing
tail.
Them every 1.5 seconds.
Every 1.5 seconds. Right. And it's crazy. So speaking of laws and being compliant, Noah... See, he's our resident lawyer here, so we've got to talk about laws and all the new stuff that's going on in Illinois. I mean, you got some stuff going on here, man.
Yeah, I mean, just minor things like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? There's the Sexual Harassment Omnibus Act. Does anybody have employees? No one? No one's got employees. All right, so you are now subject to the Illinois Human Rights Act for one employee, whereas it used to be to more than that. Cannabis, recreational adult use cannabis is coming your way. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't think you had it before, here it is. And then business expenses. These things are some of the really new big hot laws. I won't read my slides directly to you, but I'll tell you that behind tab one, or the tab in your binder, there are slides, there's material. Don't need to look at it now. Take it home, use it to prop open your window. If your podcast listeners want a copy, they can email me and I'm happy to send them a copy of the slides and material.
Oh, great. Thank you.
It won't keep them up at night. But unfortunately, Illinois is kind of the new West Coast. California got its dream. It broke off into the ocean, and we are now the West Coast of the United States.
Nope, New York is
still the East Coast. it might be next to Alabama. My geography's a little off lately. So things, some major changes that we're seeing in Illinois, and if you're not prepared for today, are going to be before you even have an employee, when you have a job applicant. How many of you guys have your own job applications as opposed to some form you got somewhere on the internet? Okay, who's got the internet form, right? So, you know, one of the points you made is that people are doing things like going to the internet and they find a form and they download it and they say, well, this is what I have. And my question when I have a, you know, new client or a prospect is, well, how much business do you actually do in Connecticut? And I say, well, why are you asking? I was like, well, you have this Connecticut disclaimer on here. This form has nothing to do with Illinois work, right?
So
It was free, right? So things that you need to be careful of when you start downloading these forms are protections that Illinois employees and applicants have. Things like asking about arrest records. You can't do that in any state, by the way. That's pretty much unlawful under federal law, all right? Things like asking about if you've ever had a conviction, right? You can't do that in your application. Asking applicants about their marital status, how old they are. These are protected classes. And by the way, this isn't unlawful to ask about Social Security numbers, but you have no basis to have that on a job application, okay? It's just, it's data security that you don't want to be holding on to and risk a breach. Data breaches, they happen if you have a lot of technology. Data breaches happen because somebody comes to the shop and they start rifling through papers that are left sitting out. Now you've got somebody's job application that has their name, their address, their phone number, their email, their date of birth, their Social Security number. And because you asked who their family members are, why do you care about an applicant's family members? You know their mom, so you know you have their maiden name. That is a really bad data breach to have for a job applicant that you're never going to hire, okay? Other major changes coming down the pike. We've been talking about it for years. California, you have to have annual or biannual training for supervisors on sexual harassment and anti-bullying.
That's why we don't hire supervisors.
Absolutely. You have apps for that, right? It tells employees what to do and how to do it, right? Yeah. Illinois, you now have to have mandated training for sexual harassment and anti-harassment, anti-discrimination annually for all employees. Is anybody prepared to do that? Does anybody think there's a difference between shop talk and office talk?
Well, I have a question for you. Isn't there a quota of employees, a number of employees that are required for that?
Not anymore. It is now one single employee. And it doesn't matter if that employee is your kid.
What about an independent contractor?
Independent contractors. So first of all, the Illinois Human Rights Act has also been amended to protect independent contractors from things like sexual harassment, discrimination. Now, the law has been there for a while. Best practices have been there for a while, right? Last thing you want is your Yelp review to say, I really love Danny's shop, but man, he sexually harasses everyone, right? Like, you don't want your Yelp review to say that. Great technician, bad service, right? Like, that's not what you want your Yelp review to say. Sorry to pick on you, you're just to my right.
You're right, sorry. So
independent contractors are now also protected, but worse, okay, this is where people don't like me, sorry, is those risks of having misclassified independent contractors, right? The fact that somebody brings their own tools into your shop, the fact that somebody has their own crib, doesn't make them an independent contractor. The fact that you pay somebody over $100,000 a year does not make them a salary-exempt employee. In fact, Illinois, unlike many other states, Illinois never adopted the highly compensated employee exemption, the HCE exemption. So the fact that you pay a technician over $100,000 doesn't automatically make them a salary-exempt employee. In fact, they're probably still a blue-collar worker. They're probably, you know, a mechanic is probably your quintessential blue collar worker when you think about it, right? So that's, those are some of the biggest risks. I'm glad you brought up independent contractors. Nobody likes when I say it.
Shops have independent contractors coming for programming or whatever they may be doing. So that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, if you think that somebody is, so from the sexual harassment perspective and discrimination perspective, right? Sexual harassment can come in many different ways. Okay, it can be supervisor harassing a subordinate. In Illinois, that supervisor can be any supervisor with authority and power. So it doesn't have to be a direct supervisor. Harassment can come from sources of which you expect. So a one-time customer, not so much. A repeat customer who always comes in and is always harassing the receptionist, that is a known source. That is a known quantity. That is somebody that you need to head off, right? It could be a vendor. It could be the FedEx delivery guy who comes in every day. You know this person's conduct. So both independent contractors and vendors, third parties, can both be harassers, and they can also be the victims of that harassment.
Which goes to your point of anyone who would come in, who would say we'd be a mobile diagnostician, the shop owner has to protect his people and his team from both not only inside but external.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I did an episode with Jennifer Grady. She's a California lawyer, and she came on and talked about the whole sexual harassment thing.
It's
huge, it's big, it's important, and you cannot ignore it, and you have responsibility to get it done today. I mean, you know, the government's your partner. Hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
No, they're not. When the government comes, ask to speak to your attorney.
Something to add to that, you were talking about the sexual harassment and the anti-bullying training. As we're having Generation Z come in as our employees, this is something they expect in the workplace. They expect a safe work environment. They expect to not have to deal with harassment. They expect to not be bullied. They expect to be taken care of. I've worked as a female, the only female in a repair shop for a long time. And let me tell you, there was a lot of what you would call shop talk going on. And I don't stand for it. And I will speak up and say something and say that it's not okay. And it's just the younger generations are no longer tolerating things that maybe were accepted before, and it's just become an expectation for us now that we will be able to work in a safe, comforting environment where we won't have to deal with that.
I love that Sarah joined me on this, and here's what I want to say that's scary. This is what is actually scary. So you like technology, right?
Yes.
You like apps?
Yes.
You like mobile phone stuff?
Yes.
EEOC, the federal government's Equal Employment Opportunity Agency, you can now file a charge of discrimination online. An employee doesn't like the way you spoke to him or her. That employee goes to the bathroom. They go to the bathroom. That's in air quotes for your listeners. They go to the bathroom, and they pull out their phone, and they file a charge of discrimination. And now you find out about it 2 days later. That's a problem, right? Because technology is advancing quickly, employees have access to that. So your best way to prevent this, the best way to protect your business, your risk management, is to head it off early. There is no difference between the shop and the office in terms of what words are permissible, okay? There is no word that any one class or group or gender of employee can use that nobody else can use. So there is no difference between the shop and the office. All employees need to be treated with respect, okay? Watching things like bullying and favoritism, those are the leading sources of discrimination, retaliation, harassment claims. So those are things that to be careful of and cognizant of, but I don't want to be a downer. So I'm going
to
pass.
I don't want to
back.
Be a downer either, but I'd like to ask you a question. If I have an EEOC complaint, will I be expected that somewhere along the line I'm going to pay something?
I'm not going to call out specific attorneys, but maybe not, but maybe so. So here's what I would say is if you got an EEOC complaint or in Illinois Department of Human Rights, Cook County Commission on Human Relations, Chicago Commission on Human Relations, whatever state you're in, there's a lot of these little agencies that administer employment laws. First thing you should do when you get this, open it, take a deep breath, right? Like, you don't need the freak out. They stink. These charges of discrimination, these employment issues, you know, they're crushing, right? Because they're accusing you and your business of doing something wrong. and maybe something was done, you know, less provident than should have been, and maybe there's a misunderstanding. If you're not prepared to deal with it, you've never done it before, I would say speak to employment counsel. Not just business counsel, they may not understand it, not just somebody who's done human resources, but actually speak to competent employment counsel who can guide you through the process, because you want to make sure that you are responding in a prudent fashion and within the right time limits. Mm-hmm. Once it goes to the EEOC or an agency, you still have the opportunity to settle a case. So yes, you could settle it for little to nothing. When you said pay something, I presume you mean to the employer.
Settle.
Yeah. Something.
It almost, yeah, I've talked to a few people that says you're guilty first until you can prove yourself innocent.
Sometimes there's a nuisance value to a claim. It might be $500. I've had attorneys that I know take bottom cases and I've told them to go away. I've had other people say, you know, I'm willing to fight that attorney. I'm willing to pay your fees for defense. I'm not paying them a penny. And then there's times where I look at my client and I say things like, look, Carm, you have really bad facts. Whether it's EEOC, Department of Labor, you know, look, you have not been tracking wage and hour issues. You have not been tracking time. Somebody complained, you didn't investigate. You've got bad facts. So here's your end of your day. You know, you could be looking at this in defense costs to try to prove your case, which you may or may not win in the end, right? I can't guarantee it. Or you could pay them up front and make the whole thing go away without admitting liability. You know, are you always guilty? No, but as a business owner, you know, there's a cost-benefit analysis there, which is, you know, do you want to prove that you are correct to the end of the earth, which takes money and a lot of time? There could be my need to get records from you. We could be taking depositions, which might take you away from the business. Or is this worth a small settlement up front? Yes, it's cash out of your pocket, but we get a settlement agreement and you don't think about this anymore.
Hey, Carm here. You know, Apex 19 is in the record books and brought the best and brightest together to create an experience like no other. Now, the big announcement for Apex 2020 is a dedicated section for the service professional. Yay! Apex will present Repair Shop HQ in its own section in 2020. So, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, Apex is for you. Sure, SEMA's fun, but you'll learn more and see more that relates to your sales growth, profits, productivity, and technology at Apex. And training? Apex will present some of the best aftermarket technician trainers as well as management trainers. Now, regarding emerging tech, Apex will feature again in 2020 the latest trends that will have an impact on the service repair professional. And equipment? Wow. See, feel, and touch the latest tools and equipment that will bring efficiencies to your business. Mark your calendar right now for Apex 20, November 3rd through the 5th in Las Vegas. Listen here to learn all about Apex and when you can start registering.
Well, the world has changed. The government is our partner. We have to pay attention. We can't ignore it. I talked about the Wage and Hour book that Mike Davidson wrote, the attorneys that I've interviewed, it's amazing. When Mike talked about the Department of Labor stuff, I have to tell you, you listen to that episode, you're going to sit there and say, I just can't handle something else to do. And to your point about being exempt, Mike covers that in a very big way, because if you get a Department of Labor audit and they sit down one-on-one with your person and ask them all of these particular questions to end up finding out if the person is exempt, and they say the wrong things, you can't have a counsel, you can't be in that room with them, and they're done, you may have a whole lot of back stuff to pay. And you've actually misclassified. And I'm not sure what the number is, but in order to have someone exempt, it's at $600 and some a week. I think that's the minimum. Because there's a lot of people, we hire a lot of people, says, listen, I just want to make $35,000 a year. You know, just pay me that number every week. And you say, oh, sure, I can do that. But they just don't meet the exempt criteria. They've got to be on hourly. I don't want to be on hourly. You have to be on hourly. And that becomes a problem that sometimes we cave into and we're doing the wrong thing.
Well, so there's solutions. It's a good point, right? Some employees want to be salaried. They want to know that they are going to have a fixed amount of income every week. You can do that. You can have a salary, non-exempt employee. How do you do it? You have to in writing, make it in writing, right? I know lawyers like putting everything in writing, but it's important for you. You have to have that evidence in case there's an issue. But you say to somebody, I'm going to pay you $600 per week, which is going to cover 40 hours of work. And if you work more than 40 hours, I will pay you overtime. Here's your hourly rate. Here's your overtime rate. Now this employee, this worker knows they're going to make $600 per week, period. But they also know that they're going to make more if they work more. So at that time when that employee says, I'm going to work a 60-hour week, they know they're making more. Now, businesses, you don't like overtime costs, right?
Hate it.
Does anybody, you hate it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So what if I use one of Jeremy's models here and I flip it and I say, you know, if you put in an investment, you get something out of it. Okay. On average, what would an hourly rate of a technician be? Just give me a number.
On average?
And yeah, what's an average hourly rate?
I'd say right now $30 an hour.
$30 an hour. On average, how much work, how much revenue is that person generating in an hour?
How much revenue is the technician generating per hour? Anywhere between $175 to $300 an hour.
All right. So if somebody's working overtime, $30 an hour is their hourly rate. Their overtime rate is $45 an hour. And in that extra hour, they've already given you 40 hours of work. And now you're going to have them stay late to work on one more customer, and they're willing to do it. And they're going to generate $175 of revenue minus the $45 that you have to pay them. Yeah, there's taxes, right? So it's not a fixed amount, right? Just work with me on numbers because I'm an attorney. And attorneys don't do math like this, right? So $175 minus $45, you just made an extra $130. And that's something that businesses don't think about. That extra hour that person worked, yes, you paid them more wages. But you don't owe them any more in health benefits, okay? You don't have to buy a bigger shop for that person to work in. You just got more revenue out of that one person. So overtime is terrible. If your people are unproductive, if they're just lounging around, I'm with you, right?
Well, I was just trying to get back that hour of vaping and texting that they stole from me between the hours of 8 and 5.
Why don't you have really good employment policies that prohibit that? You should probably talk to an employment attorney
about it.
Well,
this is a hypothetical conversation,
oh,
correct?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, you should get a handbook from an employment council and not from the internet that covers things like smoking and vaping and using cannabis right here in California, right? So recreational cannabis has been there a while. Mm-hmm. So not coming to work impaired. What happens if you do that?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know that we have a lawyer here, and I've had this burning question, and actually, Noah, I maybe have to get you on the podcast just one-on-one, is we have for years had drug screenings, and I'm not sure it has come down to your level, but it probably should be. How is that being dealt with?
In a really poor fashion. Is that a good answer?
No.
Okay.
But I'm not surprised. That's the answer.
So one of the most dangerous things with cannabis in particular, right? Cannabis in some states is now lawful for medical purposes in about 33 states, for recreational purposes in 11 states plus DC. Well, the 11th state is Illinois, and it'll be January 1, 2020. It's a growing trend. 10 years ago, employees showed up with some leafy oregano in their pocket and you fired them, the court would have said, employer prerogative, do what you want. Today, there's a trend, there's a shift. The laws are becoming more employee friendly and the courts are becoming more employee friendly, especially in the realm of medical cannabis and recreational cannabis. This is a 2-hour talk, so I won't go that deep into it, but every state is gonna be very different. In Illinois, pre-hire testing for cannabis, you can still test for cocaine and heroin, but pre-hire testing for cannabis in Illinois is going to be really risky because the cannabis law amends employees' right to privacy in the workplace. It's going to treat cannabis from a state perspective a lot like alcohol.
But it's risky if you don't hire that person with that knowledge.
No.
It's risky.
The risk is going to be screening them in the first place for it. Now, post-accident testing, reasonable suspicion testing, somebody's impaired,
yeah.
Those are still in play as long as you have a good faith basis
to do
for it.
To do it,
right?
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for condensing a 2-hour into oh my God, we have to deal with this moment.
It's only one more thing.
Carm, I have a follow-up question on the EEOC. So what kind of a bullet does this put in a company's culture and trust in the workplace when a member, because I've seen this before, when a member of that little community says, you know, I'm different, I'm special, you're mistreating me only.
Yeah. So some of it's a PR issue, right? And what I tell businesses often, you know, when a claim comes in, when a charge comes in, I want the deep breath is you need to look at it and think about it for a moment, right? Because it is. My clients, even if they're huge corporations, I'm dealing with people who run the business, who care deeply about it, right? So it is shocking to them. Oftentimes, it's the owner who's also getting accused, or a senior manager is getting accused of X, Y, and Z, and they say, "I would never do that," right? And yes, we can prove our case and show that there was no discrimination, but we do want to prevent that, you know, that PR issue, right? And we want to, you know, make sure that we're addressing the concerns. Oftentimes, and this is where people don't like it at all, is paying for advice up front. You know, hey, we've got this employee. We know this person has a disability. We know this person is very vocal. They like to rile up other workers, but his performance has just been terrible, right? We want to terminate this person. It's worth a call with an attorney to go through that. It's a good time to have the conversation with an attorney to address these issues up front and say, you know, what is the best way to handle this? And maybe the best way to handle it, you know, is to do progressive discipline. And even if you don't require it in your handbook or your policies, even though you don't guarantee it if you're a non-union shop, it's something to consider, right? So we're giving you a warning for this issue. Now we're going to put you on a performance improvement plan. One more thing to do, right? More paperwork to track. But that way, when this person doesn't improve after 30 days, and you have a more solid basis to terminate, you know, it gives you that paper evidence to show. And at the end of 30 days, when you say, look, this person still hasn't improved and it's time to part ways, you know, what's the safest way to do it? Have a script, right? And you say, you know, look, Donnie, you and I get along. I like you a lot. Unfortunately, your performance just hasn't been there. And this is a business and I had to make some really tough decisions. And unfortunately, you know, I have to inform you that today's your last day. This isn't up for debate. It's not going to be a discussion. You know, it's not about you personally. It's just your performance hasn't been there, and we've been working on this for a while. I'm sorry, right? You can end it there. You may want to offer that person some severance. Again, to Carm's point, paying something in advance, right? You know, Donnie, we like you. Our standard policy, our standard procedure is today's your last day. You know, you can come back after 5, get your crib. You're done, right? What I would like to do is I'd like to help you transition into your next role. To do that, I'm willing to offer you a little bit of severance in exchange for a release, okay? And I'm going to give you a week, 2 week, $1,000. There's no set amount, okay? It doesn't have to be tied to anything in particular. But I'm going to give you X dollars to help you transition into your next role. You can apply for unemployment benefits. You know, I won't protest it. But, you know, if you want it, here's the release. You know, if you want to sign it now, you can, and I'll write you a, you know, check in 7 days if you're over 40, or right now if you're under 40. You know, thank you.
You can't get by today without having some kind of advisorship on HR. And I remember doing a podcast a while back on PEOs. Does anyone have a professional employer organization that works for you? And do your people work for them? Are they, you see, your employees work for them. They're in their healthcare program. You get your comp rate from that big pool of people. But the other thing that I found fascinating when I did this interview was the HR advice and, you know, the compliance issue. When something comes up for a performance review, when a potential employee sits down with you and say that they have been harassed and what you need to do and what advice are you going to get? You're in the moment and all of a sudden you've got to put your, like you say, take the deep breath and figure out what to do next. I don't think you're designed to be the Wizard of Oz when it comes to those things. You're the CEO of a business with, you know, small business. You need help. I think the biggest takeaway that I have from this discussion is that we can't do it alone. We have to have help. Thank you for that. I thought this was a great segment.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.